This is Let's Go Michigan with Jeff Sloan on 760 WJR. Your bird's eye view on Michigan's business and entertainment scene. Here's Jeff.
All right, welcome to Let's Go Michigan special weekend here in the state of Michigan, certainly in the Detroit region, as it's Dream Cruise Day. Kristen Kajawa, Mark Pastoria here with me, and we're celebrating cars today. We're celebrating because the Dream Cruise is going on, and isn't that fun? It's a cool event.
What a blast.
What a blast is right. Well, we thought it'd be really cool to kind of have a show celebrating the automobile all the way through as our theme today. Let's talk about the Dream Cruise.
Sure.
First of all, you go, right? You guys check it
yes.
out?
Yeah. We go, you go.
Yeah. You go and you are actually in it for a little bit of it.
Well, I mean, we're active participants. Yes.
Well, okay.
Yes,
well, that's good.
We are.
My active participation mark is a hot dog here or there and looking at all the crazy people, looking at all the crazy cars.
Right.
Yeah. We're so close. You have two choices. Either you lean into it or you just plan to go up north this weekend.
Mark, what about you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. You got your spot staked with your lawn chair there. No trespassing sign is up where your little chair is.
No
right.
trespassing.
All right. Cool. Listen, a little bit of fun facts about this Dream Cruise. I don't know if you guys know or not, but it started in 1995 as a fundraiser to build a children's soccer field in Ferndale, Michigan. First event was held on Woodward Avenue in Ferndale, Pleasant Ridge, Berkeley, Huntington Woods, Royal Oak, and Birmingham. The organizers expected 30,000 to 40,000 people would attend, but at that first one, over 250,000 people showed up.
Isn't that incredible?
And at that point, they knew they were onto something.
I would say so.
You can build a soccer field and a whole heck of a lot more. 1995.
That doesn't seem that long ago. Well, it wasn't that long ago, but don't you feel like it's been going on forever?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No.
Well, you know, one could argue that unofficially it has been going on for a long time.
True.
Cruising up and down Woodward, right? Don't know if you guys know this or not, but this event attracts over 1 million people now. 40,000 classic cars from around the world are driven up and down Woodward for people to take in and marvel at and enjoy. And anyone can participate in the cruise for free, but drivers of non-classic cars are asked to be courteous and stay out.
Stay out, yeah. Right.
Right. Those people with the non-classic cars really should be just those viewing, not
right.
participating.
Right, exactly. I have a question for
sure.
you, Jeff. Do you know when Woodward Avenue was built?
You know, I'm going to guess, I'll take a swing at it, in the 20s.
You're very 20. Close, actually. It was, well, you're right and wrong.
Oh, of course. Of course. I don't think I've ever been right when Kristen has asked me a question, even when I'm right.
No, you're right and wrong. It was actually built in 1909, and it was the first mile of concrete highway in the world. It was actually built between 6 and 7 mile, and it was a marvel at that time, back in 1909.
Wow.
And people from around the world and builders and construction people came to see that mile stretch of Woodward that was built
That's
with concrete.
Incredible. Yeah.
And they wanted to see how it stood up under the heavy traffic of that period.
Wow.
How cute is that? The heavy traffic of 1909?
There you go. Right.
You're right in the sense that it was actually replaced in 1922. And it was actually brought into what we see, like a full thoroughfare, like we
like
see today.
Like between Detroit and Pontiac?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It runs
27 miles from Detroit to
can
Pontiac.
Can you imagine? I mean, today we take roads for granted, you know, part of the way of life. But can you imagine when not only, first of all, could you get in a car and then you see this road?
Yeah.
Getting off the dirt roads and the bumpiness and the mud and muck and getting onto a smooth concrete road that you could drive up and down. Wow. All right. Well, here's another fun fact for you about the Dream Cruise. $56 million brought in annually into the Metro Detroit economy as a result of the Dream Cruise. That's cool.
How much?
$56 million annually. Yeah.
Wow. That's right. Just for the weekend? No.
Well,
I mean,
yes, because think
summer.
About it. The food that they, this, that the, you know,
the lodging,
exactly. People come from out of town.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, that's great.
So there you go. Many, many, many people are here, whether as car owners, those in the cruise itself, or others with their family members, just taking it all in, the sights, the sounds, the food, the cars, the people, the whole thing. It's an amazing, amazing event, one of a kind in the country, and it's certainly part of our culture here. It hits right to the heart locally in Michigan, being the auto capital of the world, obviously. Kristen, Mark, let me ask you, do you go down to the cruise?
Yeah, we go down.
Mark, do you have a car that is just a favorite of yours, you know, that you look for in the cruise? Are you a car guy first, Mark?
Kind of. I like cars.
You appreciate them, yeah.
Yeah, I very much appreciate them.
That's like me. I have an appreciation for sure. I've not yet become a car guy, but I'm close. I could be. I'm at the tipping point.
Oh,
yes. I mean, I think it's amazing. Really. I mean,
we're gonna follow these cars.
Well, a lot of these cars are works of art.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
Certainly aesthetically, mm-hmm. but also the nature of the machine itself. You know, is mm-hmm. such an incredible, incredible thing. Well, listen, guys, we're going to learn a little bit more now, turning to our theme today, really focused on the crews and people who love cars. We've got one of those guys with us right now, joining us, Jeff Grice, president of the Great Lakes Cobra Club. Jeff, it's great to have you with us. We're eager to hear all about the Cobra and about your club. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. First, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's great to be here and to share my stories with your audience. The Great Lakes Cobra Club, its origin actually was with the Dream Cruise back in 1997. That's how the club initially came together, with seven fellas that had replica Cobras that wanted to park and watch the cruise. It grew quickly into the next year with 23 Cobras. And then, you know, we had a maximum of about 70 to 80 Cobras, you know, on Woodward at a location from our club. So we're deeply rooted in the cruise and the activity, but we do so much more than that. But I know we want to talk about the cruise. Currently, we'll be located on Woodward near the Mercedes dealer at 16. We'll have about 120 people and about 60 cars. But beyond the cruise, we do 35 to 40 events each year. And that's been the nature of the club, not just the number of the events, but the reason why and the background to the events. You know, I've had classic cars in, you know, all my life. And I think many of us that have been in this situation or opportunity wonder, well, where am I going to drive today? And you end up going down the same street for half an hour and coming back. So about 10 years ago, we changed the complexion of the club to really focus on a couple things. One, building friendships. And that's paramount. It's a fundamental tenet to our club, of like-minded people, creating opportunities for people to get their cars out and drive them. They are meant to be driven. I mean, some cars are trailer queens, but, you know, others, you know, they're meant to be driven. Mm-hmm. So we create these opportunities to drive, you know, our members' cars in interesting places. We don't do car shows. We, you know, create opportunities and routes and rallies and things of that nature. And the third component is really opening doors for opportunities that the common person wouldn't have. There's a lot of private collections in the Metro Detroit area that you read about, but don't have access to. We've been very fortunate through our relationships in opening doors for our members to those unique opportunities. So that's a little bit of background, Jeff, about the club.
Really cool. Tell us about the car, kind of the background, the history. I mean, at the heart of it all, obviously you guys are all passionate about the Cobra. What is it about that car? And give us a little bit of maybe history and romance associated with this car.
Great question. And it is rich in history, and there is some love affair, as you said, romance with it. You know, I can't imagine somebody back in the day, in the early days, in the 60s and 70s, not having a poster, not recognizing, not dreaming of having a Shelby Cobra. Well, back then they were $5,000-$7,000, but a brand new GTO was $2,000. So they were not reachable, obtainable type vehicles. Well, fast forward, you know, Shelby stopped manufacturing the Cobra, but replica car companies started coming out with replicas. Mm-hmm. Many of them were backyard kits, but others were substantial replica vehicles that are actually licensed by Carroll Shelby today to replicate the likeness of the AC Cobra. And it's such a unique looking vehicle that it turns heads, it gets people excited. We've got many members in our club that have joined, midlife, 40s and 50s, and said, I've always had a passion. I went and bought a replica of the AC Cobra, and I want to join your club and be part of it. Out of all of our members, again, upwards of 110 families, we have three original Cobras in the club. The rest are all replicas. And the even the originals do get out for exercise.
And it's fair to say that those who love a Cobra, for example, you're extremely dedicated to, passionate about that particular vehicle. I don't want to go so far as to say it's a cult-like following, but it kind of is, isn't it?
You're right. There definitely is a following that people yearn for that type of vehicle. It is so darn unique in look. What other car, you know, that any of us can remember in history, you know, has that appearance? It is so unique and lustful. I think that's what, you know, is part of the appeal. Plus, they're a blast to drive. Our members really enjoy talking to guests about their vehicles and educating, because it is an education process. For example, we had an event at the cruise, and we had about 30 of our members' cars there, and we were right on Woodward. And all night, people walking by were coming in and talking to our members. So we really enjoy educating people about the cars. And, you know, another opportunity is our youth. We identified about 10 years ago that we needed to take action to help youth appreciate these vehicles. So, you know, a teenager today, I would say 1 out of 10 maybe knows what an AC Cobra is. So we worked with the Oakland Tech School in Royal Oak to put on an event each year that we do for their students. And, you know, it started as about a dozen of our cars from our club, and it grew to about, you know, 100 cars that come out and just spend a day with the kids. There's hundreds of them at the school, and educate them on the Shelby Cobra, but also educate them on the value of participating and being with a club. You know, it's for the friendships, it's the camaraderie, it's the like-mindedness to do things together, to get you out of the chair and enjoy vehicles, because that's another challenge, is what's going to happen to certain vehicles, you know, that they're not making anymore, but what's going to happen to certain car clubs, you know, were the members a trit? So we're definitely interested in educating youth and anybody who wants to know about our cars. Our members really do love sharing insights and information.
Well, that's great. And certainly at the foundation, at the heart of it all, is an appreciation. And so getting people inspired, educated and inspired and passionate about wanting to be part of it is at the foundation of it all. But just from a practical standpoint, can you share with us, if you got me sold wanting one of these babies, what's it going to set me back to get one?
That's a great question, and it does range. There's many different kits available, and there's fully manufactured Shelby Cobras that are replicas. And let's go to the higher end, which is a little more dramatic to answer your question. So Superformance is a licensed Shelby. They are licensed to use the Shelby name with their Cobras. They're the only company that is licensed to represent Shelby as a Cobra. Their cars are made in South Africa and imported into the States, where, you know, the final drivetrain is put into the car. That car will cost about $120,000, but that's a $1.2 million real deal Cobra if it was a real deal. Used ones, certainly less, but you can get into, you know, a Cobra, a nice Cobra, for as low as 60. Let's say a factory five, you know, kit car that was done very nice, but is like 3-4 years old. So the range, you know, would be 60 to 120. Shelby is making the replicas also, actually in the same factory as Super Performance. They're about a $25,000 premium, but 60 to 120,000, and you can join the club.
Incredible. I mean, I'm curious. I want to understand more about really what it is that makes people so passionate about cars and really becomes a way of life. You know, these people who belong to these car clubs, the people that own these cars, spend time fixing them up, you know, spend time enjoying them, driving them, appreciating them, showing them off, whatever it may be. Why? Well, Jeff, thanks for sticking with us. We got to ask you, what's at the heart of all this? What do you think the essence of our love affair is with these cars?
Likely a couple factors, and you brought up a couple good points, but I think everybody enjoys celebrating history. And the cruise is on one of the most historical highways North America.
Yeah.
And that attracts people from all over the country to find out what this Woodward Avenue is all about. Back in the 60s and 70s, it was the place, you know, to be, to hang out for, you know, a soda, you know, to drive your GTO, to take your gal on a date, or for a gal to take her boyfriend on a date. I mean, it was the place to be, and to be part of it, you know, 70 years later, if I did the math correctly, was absolutely incredible. I think the second part, when it ties into history, it's a celebration, not just of the oldest highway in the country. It's a celebration of what people still love today are the classics. And yes, there's brand new Lamborghinis that are on the cruise and you name the vehicle, but it is a celebration of the classics. And I think at our hearts, we want to preserve that. We want to hang on to it. And this is such an easy and great way to hang on to it, to participate in this type of cruise event. There are so many sights to see, from people to the exotic cars to the crazy cars that only come out for this cruise. You know, I think that's where the passion is deeply rooted. It's in the historical significance and the desire to carry it on.
Yeah, beautifully. Well said. Really, really well said. You know, you've got me romanced about the notion of being involved in something like this. That's for sure. I listened to those hanging on every word, and I it got my wheels turning, as you might say. No pun intended.
Right. Yeah.
So, Kristen, you guys go. Why do you go?
We do. We love the spectacle of it all. We love the cars. We love the people. We love the sound.
It's a big deal. And like Jeff has said, people from all over the country.
Oh, all over come. The country. Yeah.
It's really incredible. You can even catch a celebrity or two from time to time. You certainly can. And certainly you can catch a lot of celebrity cars. That's a given.
That is for sure. It's special.
I think it is, too. We certainly go and we check it out for a little while anyway until the fumes start to get to us.
Right, yeah.
But that's all part of it, too, right?
Right.
I mean, it is. The sight, sounds, and smells, no doubt, all part of it. Jeff Grice, president of the Great Lakes Cobra Club. Wow. Great to have you on, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to meet you both, and safe cruising.
Yeah, safe cruising. Enjoy the day. All right, again, Jeff Grice, really interesting, you know, people who are so passionate about these cars, whether it be the Cobra or any other vehicle. It's good to get a little insight, a little look into what that way of life is all about. We thank you for sharing it, Jeff. Now, guys, we got a special invitation from Jeff to check out the car at the heart of the Cobra Club. What do you say we take a little field trip right after the show, head up Woodward, not far.
Yeah, it's not far. Yeah, I think we should.
I'm in. I want to see the car. As I say, he's got me romanced a little bit about that car.
Do you think he'll let us drive?
Oh, but that you may be pushing it.
Okay.
He may let you drive, but it's not going to be his.
Yeah, right.
You can take one of the others. There's a whole lot of them here. Yeah. Take your pick, just not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, so moving right along, staying on theme today with our focus on cars. What else, of course, on this day, a famous day, an important day here in the Metro Detroit region. Of course, it's the Dream Cruise, when we're celebrating that Dream Cruise by keeping a show entirely focused on the center attraction in Center Ring. We've got cars. indeed.
It is the center attraction.
Although I'll tell you, there's lots of side rings too, with lots of other attractions going on. The people, the food, the whole scene is incredible. Bob Elton is joining us now. He's board member of the National Society of Automotive Historians. He knows a thing or two about cars. Bob, welcome to the show.
Oh, good. Good to be here.
It's great to have you here. And of course, and I don't need to tell you, cars are rich in our heritage, in our DNA here in this region and beyond, really, the whole world over. People love cars, don't they?
Absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely.
Well, Bob, tell us about the National Society of Automotive Historians.
Well, it's a group of people who are interested in the history of the automobile. Not only literally the car, but what it's done to society, how people relate to it, the stories of the people behind these cars. I have found that personally fascinating ever since I was a little kid, and I'm delighted to be part of this organization. I'm delighted that they've elected me to the board a couple times now.
That's amazing. I mean, tell us about you. Are you one of these car guys? What's your history with the automobile?
Well, I was a car guy since I was born, I think. I came to Michigan right out of high school to work in the auto industry. I wanted to be part of this business. And I was a General Motors Institute co-op student, co-opted at the Hydromatic Division in Ypsilanti, which is all gone now. And in fact, GMI is all gone. It's now Kettering University. But I've worked in the car business ever since. I've worked in design. I worked in engineering. I have a hobby of, I've built my own cars, a couple of them now, from scratch. And I've just lived a life I've really enjoyed, being immersed in the car business. And it's changed incredibly since when I started, in every conceivable way. Technically, the way the businesses are organized, the fall of General Motors. When I started here, 1965, General Motors had 350,000 people working there. And now it's about 150,000, I believe. The rise of the supplier industry, used to be General Motors made most of the car, right? Now they make about a third, and the rest of it comes from outside suppliers. And that's true of many, if not all, car companies these days. Big changes in the 50 years that I worked here.
Well, no doubt about it. And we're seeing maybe some of the greatest changes, although that's probably been echoed across the decades and years past. There's always great change to the auto industry, that's for sure, in order to stay contemporary, to stay competitive, stay up with the new technology trends. You know, no doubt car companies and the suppliers to those companies are challenged with having to stay current and contemporary. Look, I want to learn a little bit more about the Society of Automotive Historians. I understand you're a community of people interested in preserving that rich, rich, romantic automotive history. Got 650 members or so, 25 countries. This is a worldwide organization ranging from collectors, restorers, journalists, and it goes on and on, educators, teachers, and just everyday enthusiasts as well. Why is it important for us to not only be keepers of the history of the automotive industry, but why are we so interested in it? And we are, but why, do you think?
History in general is important.
Sure, of course.
For people to know where they've been so they know where they're going.
Sure.
And industrial history and automotive history is an often overlooked part of history. When kids go to school, they learn all the dates of the Battle of Hastings in 1066 and all this stuff, and, you know, all about the wars and all that. But the industrial history, especially the history of automobiles, reflects how we made the modern world. We created, for better or worse, a world of individual mobility, where almost everybody has a car or access to a car, and they can go whenever they want to, wherever they want to, and by whatever route they want. And how this came about is important to understand going forward. How are we going to be in the future? What choices will we make?
It's important to be able to look at the past and learn from the past in order to look forward with great capability of, you know, to whatever degree possible, shaping that future, no doubt about it. And when I look back, you talk about industrial history, but, you know, specifically, whether you call it industry or technology or both, whatever it may be, you look at major sea change that impacted society the world over. You know, you think of the personal computer, perhaps. Certainly, you think of other things. You cannot, though, think about that or answer that question without recognizing the incredible change, transformation that happened in our world with the introduction of the automobile. Maybe those are the two biggest.
Well, the invention of the Model T Ford basically put Americans on wheels. That's a trite phrase, but it's no exaggeration. Once Ford started making good cars that everybody could afford, there were cheap cars before that, but they weren't very good, and you had to be a full-time mechanic to keep them going. But what the Model T was a technological achievement in the sense that it was so sturdy and so strong and so simple that anybody could drive one and maintain it. And it changed the way people looked at the world, not only in America, but all over the world. They made Model Ts all over the world. And there were some years when Ford made half the cars in the world in the teens and 20s. Just amazing. And that changed the way people looked at themselves and looked at the world. All of a sudden, you could travel around America and see people living in Michigan could go and see Yosemite and national parks all over the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kristen and Mark here with me today on this special day here in the Detroit area, Woodward Avenue, abuzz, all abuzz, with these beautiful cars, historical cars, collectible cars, cars that have great value to just cars that are really entertaining to look at, no doubt about it. Colorful indeed in many ways. Bob Elton is here with us. He's a board member at the National Society of Automotive Historians. And Bob, we got a chance to talk about the, you know, the importance of the automobile to society in our last segment a little bit. We talked about the changes that the industry is going through. Let's turn our focus in this segment to really having some fun with the automobile and talking about the Dream Cruise. First, let's start with that. In your view, here you are on the board, a keeper of the history. What does the Dream Cruise mean to guys like you who love cars?
Well, a Dream Cruise is a time for people to just go out and have fun with their car or watch other people drive around in their cars. Old cars, new cars, muscle cars. There's a lot of muscle cars and hot rods of various kinds. You know, when I was young, when I first came here, I used to cruise up and down Woodward before it was legal. And people were doing that.
Kristen, you did that too, way back when, didn't you?
Hey,
yes,
now.
You were part of that as well.
Yeah, yes. Who doesn't?
Right, right.
Yeah, well, what happened was all these people that were cruising up and down Woodward like me, one day they realized they'd grown up and become mayors, police chiefs, city council people of all these cities up along Woodward. And somebody said, hey, wait a minute, we're in charge. We can do this now. And that's how the Woodward Dream Cruise started, I think, basically. And then, you know, the state used to hassle people with cars with antique license plates, limited use, right? Well, people were getting busted for being on the Dream Cruise with their antique car. So the people in the legislature, who also grew up with the Woodward cruising, decided they'd just remove all the restrictions on antique car license plates for the month of August. So basically, during August, all restrictions are off. You can drive your antique car anywhere. And subsequently, they've expanded that from May through September. Eventually, I think they'll just get rid of all those restrictions. But that's what the Woodward Dream Cruise is all about, just going out and enjoying your own car.
And showing off these cars and maybe inspiring others to maybe, you know, catch a fancy for a particular car, make, model, brand, whatever it may be, and jump in with their own ownership. You know, that's kind of what makes it all go around. Look, I'm not a car guy, but as I mentioned in a couple segments ago, I'm intrigued by it all. I really do appreciate cars and want to learn more about them and maybe even one day partake as well as a passionate owner of a car. Maybe, who knows what the future holds, maybe a collection. We'll see. But in the meantime, do you have a favorite, Bob, that you come to see? Maybe could you call out a couple of cars that you really appreciate and could be by make, could be by brand, whatever. What really gets your blood boiling?
I've got a lot of favorites, to tell you the truth. When I was younger, I had Chrysler muscle cars. The Roadrunner, you know, the GTO was the first modern muscle car. But the Roadrunner was the first one they built to be a really affordable muscle car. It was really a very plain car with a big engine. And I had a couple of those. And sometimes they came with even bigger engines. And there are other Chrysler versions of those cars that I always kind of liked. But these days, I kind of admire the styling and the design of the GM cars, the Malibus and the GTOs. They were probably more elegantly styled than the Chrysler products, but the Chryslers were probably faster.
A little more muscle, right?
Heavier. Yeah, the sound of that engine.
Yeah, Kristen, you're an expert when it comes to who's got muscle and not.
So.
Listen, this sounds like you have an appreciation for cars at some level.
We actually have a 1976 Mercedes convertible that we cruise up and down Woodward.
Do you go in the cruise?
We do, yeah.
So you're going to head right out of here and head into the cruise?
We are.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely, yep. So we love it. The top's down and the girls are in the back seat. It's great.
Are you listening to the right kind of music and everything? Of course,
well,
you're going to be listening to WJR.
On,
of
right?
course you will be.
Of course
but
I am.
In between when JR maybe, well, I don't want to say when they run to a commercial, but let's say when they're doing the news.
Yeah.
Who cares about the news on a day like today? We know what the news is. Listen, did you have the music going? Is it the whole thing?
No, you know what? It's funny. We actually don't have the music on because certain people in my car like the sound of the revving of other cars ahead of us.
Oh, that's cool.
So they really get into just listening. And, you know, you're sitting for a lot of the time. You're not actually going so fast.
Right.
And so you can hear the people and chatting with the people on the sides of the street, you know, talking to you, commenting, oh, beautiful car, whatever. So that's kind of fun. That's what we do.
Cool.
Yeah.
What qualifies as a muscle car? Is there a specific definition or is that just a kind of a general catch-all kind of term, Bob?
Starting with the Pontiac GTO in 64, after that, through the rest of the 60s, a lot of cars were marketed as muscle cars. And basically, they were medium-sized cars with the engines from big cars stuffed into it and then jazzed up and made fancier, fancy wheels, bigger tires, louder exhausts. That was sort of the marketing version of the muscle car. You know, even American Motors made one. Those people are famous for economy cars. Well, they even had a muscle car for a while, and they were kind of, I hate to say nerds, but they
that's all right.
American Motors never got much respect in the car business.
Yeah.
And they called their muscle car the Machine.
Ah, interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah.
There's a
bit
of history.
You don't see many of those.
No, no, indeed.
People didn't go into Rambler dealerships with the idea of buying a muscle car.
Yeah. So, is the community of people that own these cars and that are really deeply passionate about and involved in, whether it be collectible cars, restoration, whatever you kind of call the catch-all reference for people who are part of this community, is it growing?
I think so, actually. You know, originally, it was people who got these cars to remember their youth. I had one
nostalgia.
When they were just used
Yeah,
cars.
Nostalgia, sure.
Yeah, but more and more, the combination of the design and the just sense, the feeling of these cars appeals to more and more young people. You see more people of all ages driving these cars. It's not a unified group. they appeal to people on a number of different levels. I mean, not only the literal performance, and honestly, you don't get to use much performance during the Woodward Dream Cruise. It's sort of like being in a 1965 traffic jam. But the aesthetics of it, the sound, the feeling.
Sure. The power of it, you know, to be able to control a machine like that.
Well, it was a time of more optimism about life in general, I think, in the late 60s, before the Vietnam War escalated and the gas crises started in the 70s and stuff. And it was a time when people were getting much more prosperous. Wages rose a lot during the 1960s. So people had money to spend.
Car in every garage.
Yeah, but just to drive around. And there's a lot of nostalgia for those times. And the muscle cars are a good symbol of those times, as much as anything, really. So there's a wide range of people that like these. It's hard to say there's any specific group. There's clubs, you know, devoted to Chrysler products.
Sure.
There's clubs devoted to Pontiacs.
Let me ask you this, Bob. You know, you talk about part of the big draw is the nostalgia back to an age that was more innocent. You mentioned people would just get in their cars to go for a drive, of course. I mean, I grew up as a young kid during those times, and I remember that. We did that. And that was part of the way of life. Life has changed significantly, as it always does. But now young people aren't growing up with those particular memories. They're more focused on their, you know, computer games and Fortnite and all the rest, whatever it may be. Is there a danger of losing some of that? And therefore, as time goes on, maybe, you know, here you are at the National Society of Automotive Historians, keeper of that history and all the rest that goes with it. Is there a danger in your mind of maybe not having young people grow up today with the same level of appreciation that we in the, if you will, older generations are able to relate to and appreciate?
Well, you know, it's hard to judge. It's different. You know, my parents grew up in the shadow of World War II, and they could never understand people like me that would just drive around for the heck of it. And likewise, when you talk about older people like us trying to judge what younger people are doing or thinking, that's hard to do.
It is.
You know,
it is.
Young people have always confounded older people.
Yeah, sure, of course. It's hard to relate.
You know, to some degree, I blame the minivan. All those kids were
the poor minivan. What's the minivan got to do with this?
Boy, that took the fun out of driving and going places. No?
That's the darn minivan. The station wagon was the precursor, then the minivan, right?
Yeah, but the minivan was, at least station wagons were sometimes cool. The minivan had no pretense of being other than just a box to carry your kids around.
So true.
Until they could go out on their own.
It is true. In other words, it wasn't a work of art. It wasn't really a great automobile. It did a job.
It was utilitarian.
It was utilitarian. There you go.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean,
Station wagons had wood paneling on them way back then. Remember that?
Yeah, that's
We had one.
Oh, yeah.
And the back seat that faced backwards.
That faced backwards. I remember that. We had one.
Yes.
Yeah, or two or three when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Well, Bob, you did say that the station wagon was cool. You've now typecast yourself. I don't, you know, for
well,
a guy who thinks the station
I never
wagon
had
was cool.
One, so, yeah.
You never had one.
It wasn't that cool. No.
No, it wasn't. All right. Well, listen, if you could pick out a car today that's on the market today in the retail sector, like, you know, that if I were to go to a dealership and want to buy a car today or a particular dealership, are there a couple of cars that stand out to you that you say, boy, one day that car is going to be in the Hall of Fame or the equivalent thereof?
You know, I think Bentley does a really good job with some of their cars. They're distinctive. They're tasteful. They're performance. They're elegant. I mean, not many people are going to go and buy a Bentley, I realize.
I was just going to say, you've typecast yourself further. The station wagon isn't cool, but Bentleys are.
Yeah.
You got good taste, Bob.
Well, the Queen drove Bentleys, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I agree with you, by the way. That's a beautiful car. Absolutely. When I say that, you know, the brand, I've seen the various makes and models, and of course, over the years, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they make a beautiful automobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went and bought one once a while back. Just because I figured I'm getting so old, I better buy one.
Right, and you're still paying for it today, of course.
No, a little secret here. Used Bentleys are remarkably cheap, believe it or not.
Good to know.
Well, rich people don't want a used one, and regular people aren't going to buy one of these incredibly complicated gas-guzzling cars, so they devolve into people that appreciate them as cars.
Interesting.
And that, in my case, I paid less for my Bentley than most people pay for their Toyotas.
Wow. Kristen's, I can see her feverishly online looking things up right now. She's going to come in here with a Bentley in a few days.
I am. That's going to be nice.
Look at you, the queen and Kristen.
Yeah.
Yes, driving the Bentley.
I'm ready, actually, to go out. I'm going to source it right after we're done with this.
Love it. Love it. Well, Bob, we could go on and on. We really appreciate you coming on and bringing some of that history to our audience, to us, and a little fun about the Dream Cruise and the cars that are in it and the people involved as well. Thanks for being on, Bob.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Great to have you on. We're going to wrap it up now, headed out to the Dream Cruise. Kristen, you're headed out to drive a Cobra.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm going to go down and find Jeff down on
Yes, it won't
miles.
Be his, as I told you, yeah. I'm sure. But right. There's a few others you may be able to grab the keys and go.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Thanks for joining us on this just amazing day here in the Detroit area. It's Dream Cruise Day. Hope you have a good time, everybody. Take it all in. Happens once a year. Join us again next Saturday right here for Let's Go, Michigan.